The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's music time. We're joined, as we always are on a Tuesday, this time by Nadine O'Regan from the Sunday Business Post, presenter of Songs in the Key of Life, and by John Cadell from RockYouLike.com. And we're going to start with two albums which are due to be released in early April. And I want to see if our contributors can convince me that it's a worthwhile idea doing cover albums of Elton John music.
Well, that depends on where you're coming from with this, Matt. Do you think that his music isn't good enough to warrant tribute albums, or do you think that the music that he has produced is good enough that nobody should ever touch it?
What do you think, Nadine?
No, I'm asking you now,
no,
Matt.
Don't dodge the question.
Come on now.
I ask the questions, okay? And if you don't like that, you know where the door is, okay?
You're not the minister for anything at the moment.
Well, personally for me, these kind of tributes tend to function as a curio. You go along probably on Spotify rather than buying the album to check it out. It works well for the artist in question. Look at what happened when Taylor Swift, for example, had her album 1989 covered by Ryan Adams. He covered the entire album. Taylor Swift refused to put that album on Spotify, but Ryan Adams's version did get onto Spotify. But who gets the money? Taylor Swift, because she wrote the bulk of the tracks or co-wrote the tracks. So it's a very clever way to get your music out there, make it palatable to a brand new audience, audience who belong more to the artists who were covering the artist in question rather than the artists themselves. So, for example, the fact that Lady Gaga, Ed Sheeran, Q-Tip, Dolly Parton, will all be involved is something that will be a benefit.
On. Do we need an Ed Sheeran version of Candle in the Wind?
Oh, don't you want that, Matt?
We don't need an Ed Sheeran version of anything.
Right. So that immediately diminishes Elton John's back catalogue.
Somebody
when
has
you have Ed
to...
Sheeran doing that. Do we really need Mumford & Sons doing Someone Save My Life Tonight?
Matt, you're picking the shittest artists ever. I mean, there's 13 songs on 13 artists on Revamp, and you've just managed to pick the shittest two. So, well done.
Mind
on that.
Your language. We'd be having complaints about your language and the result of that.
Oh. Well, listen...
But we'll hear one, actually, just hear one to give the thing. Demi Lovato and Q-Tip doing the great Elton John and Kiki D's Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Don't go breaking my heart, babe. I couldn't if I tried. But honey, if I get restless, baby, you're not that kind. Don't go.
Honestly, they sucked a little bit of the life and energy out of that song.
I'd prefer to hear Kermit and Miss Piggy doing it. there's something.
Elton John and Miss Piggy actually did it on The Muppet Show in 1977.
I have no doubt. But Demi Lovato, for me, always sounds like she's doing that X Factor, needs to impress with the vocals. There's something incredibly self-conscious about the way she sings, and she did it when she performed the American Anthem, and she's doing it again here. It's a little bit over the top and self-conscious. It is a bit Muppets meets X Factor for me.
Well, I particularly am excited by a couple of tracks that are on Revamp, which is one of the two Elton John. Coldplay are tackling We All Fall In Love Sometimes. Elton John fans will know it's the centrepiece of the album, Captain Fantastic and the Brown Derby Cowboy, and it's a beautiful ballad. I think Coldplay covering that song is just perfect. It's a perfect idea. I've not heard it, but I think they will do it fabulously.
Do you know what
I
you would
want
have loved?
To hear it.
You would have loved Father John Misty just covering the entire album on his own.
Well, he did. When he released his last album, he released an Elton John album from the 70s.
More or less.
Also, The Killers doing Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters, which is another very, very early Elton ballad. And that, those are the ones I'm most excited about. The ones that aren't Daniel or Your Song or Candle in the Wind. The stuff that are a bit more out of left field. I'm looking forward to hearing those. Not because I'm an Elton snob or a music snob, just because, I mean, the thing about a good cover is, what makes a good cover is you retain the essence of the original while making it sound like yourself. And I think Coldplay will do that brilliantly. I think The Killers will do that brilliantly. And I like Q-Tip and Demi Lovato because they've done exactly what a cover should do. They have, you know, the melody is still there. It's recognisably Don't Go Breaking My Heart, but they've Q-tipified it.
Well, the worst type of cover for me is the cover where a band or an artist takes an absolutely incredible song and essentially repeats it, but slows it down.
Yes.
And does it only with acoustic guitar and maybe a couple of light brush strokes. And then we all hail it as a work of genius because we can recognise the mastery of the song. Yeah. I'm sorry, that is absolute nonsense.
Yeah, it is.
It's nonsense.
It is. It's almost as bad as putting an orchestra behind something and calling it epic. But we've been here
before. I'm just surprised Ronan Keating didn't manage to get his way onto this.
Well, thankfully, he's probably out of favour. He wouldn't be a big enough artist, I think. I mean, they're pretty huge artists. Whatever you think about Mumford and his Sons, and Ed Sheeran and Coldplay, you know, they're the big artists.
Others
today
in there are Florence and the Machine, Mary J. Blige, you've got The Killers, Miley Cyrus twice.
Oh God, really?
This is cold, clinical record industry decision making is what we're seeing here. This is about the artist that will get the Spotify traction for Elton John.
Let's hear a little bit of Tom York. Let's hear Harrow Down Hill from the Eraser album. Of course, for playing that is he's announced a UK and European solo tour. He's not coming to Ireland, it seems.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Cooper?
No. What do you think of that, Nadine?
I'm disappointed he's not coming to Ireland. I would definitely love to see him in Ireland, but I was thinking about this when the news was announced. And to be honest, I wouldn't probably travel to see him only because we all know his solo material is so much more subdued and minimalist. And for me, like the Radiohead experience, it's so incredible. They're so incredible live. And on his own, Tom York doesn't do it for me in quite the same way.
I don't agree at all. I was going to ask Matt, not that he'll answer, whether he was a fan of Tom York's solo stuff. But, are you?
Your point you were going to make is?
My point is that
it's now becoming a point of principle.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like Tom's solo stuff because it's more squelchy and glitchy than Radiohead, even at their squelchiest and glitchiest. His last album, Tomorrow's Modern Boxes, which he released on a torrent site, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. It's an absolutely lovely listen. If you put it on late at night, it's a fabulous album. I'd be interested to hear him do some of that stuff live. And of course, The Eraser is a great album. So I'd be pretty excited for him to announce a date here.
There are lots of artists whose work I love to listen to when I'm at home on a Sunday or at the weekend, when you just have that time for the space that they inhabit. But when you go to see them live, you can sometimes be just really disappointed because, like, take a band like, say, Wild Beasts, you know, who've made some beautiful albums. But for me, they just didn't translate live because it was too electronica-led and maybe too subdued at points.
Mm. As it happens, A Moon-Shaped Pool was the last album I listened to last night before it set me off peacefully. I suppose the big news of the day is that the Rolling Stones have got their license to play in Croke Park and tickets go on sale this Friday.
Well, that's a plus for rock and roll that the Dublin City Council allow the Stones to come and play in our backyard. Yeah, I mean, everybody that has anything,
will you be going?
Even half an ear will want to go to that.
Will you be going?
Yes, I absolutely will be going.
Okay, before you ask, I won't.
Nadine, I wasn't going to ask, I'm not interested.
I continue to be absolutely fully behind anyone who wishes to go and get a ticket and go see the Rolling Stones while not being that
bothered. But you're
going to
go and see some loser band in Whelan's.
I've got plans for the summer. I'm going to go to Berlin to music festival. I'm going to be going to Electric Picnic.
Didn't ask you that.
The Rolling Stones will not be on my list. Having said that, fair play to anyone who's heading along. They will deliver. They always do.
Okay, we'll now do the albums of the week because I always fear that we always leave them too late and don't get to hear enough of them. So we'll come back to the other news in a second. John, your pick, the Stone Temple Pilots, still on the go.
Yes, Stone Temple Pilots have had a horrific few years in that they lost both of their frontmen. And they're back with an album with their third frontman called Jeff Gutt, which I think is a very rock and roll name. And it's really, really good. It's self-titled, which usually, if it's not a band's first album, when they release a self-titled album, it's sort of like, it's a restart. It's sort of a revamp. But it's a great, great album. And it sounds like Stone Temple Pilots, but the melodies are so strong.
Let's hear Metal.
There you go. There you go. They're a band that's been going for, what, nigh on 30 years, still producing good stuff in, you know, let's be honest, out the back of some terrible, terrible circumstances.
Okay. What's the name of the album again?
It's just self-titled, Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay. Now, what's your choice for us this week, Nadine?
Ezra Furman is back. He is kind of a really kooky, unusual solo artist who makes music that is simultaneously very upbeat and has a really catchy, insistent vibe to it. And I think the track we have is a track called Love You So Bad.
You know I love you so bad. I don't believe in love. You know I love you so bad. So bad. I love you so bad, like the kid in the back of the classroom who can't do the math 'cause he can't see the blackboard. So bad. You know I love you so bad.
Is there anything on the album better than that?
What?
Is there anything on the album better than that?
Ah, no. That's the kind of song you can imagine soundtracking the end of a movie when the couple are getting in the car and driving into the sunset.
Yeah, it's, I like that. Yeah, I like Ezra Furman.
It's taken from the album Trans Angelic Exodus, and there is a loose theme of escapism about it. And actually the song, if you were listening on, builds and builds. And his voice is an acquired taste. It's not for everyone. It is a little bit like a fly in your ear at times. But he has something about him, and when he gets the right track, he's fantastic.
Okay, I'm going to play a little bit of music now, and I wonder if people will actually realise the movie and TV star who has now turned himself to his music as well. This track is called Shirley Jean. See if you can recognise the voice.
Dear Shirley Jean, I hope this finds you good. I wanted to write, but didn't know if I should. So many years now that I've lost what is real, but I still remember how you made me feel. From boys home to boys home till I was 18. Sent me to prison, they said I was mean. And as young as I was, I could handle my own. The men that I dealt with, I left cold as stone. It's the last night.
Okay. From 24, Designated Survivor, The Lost Boys, Young Guns. Kiefer Sutherland is coming to play in the Academy on the 30th of June. And that sure is a whiskey-soaked voice, isn't it?
Well, it's actually de rigueur when you're talking about Kiefer Sutherland to always say he's the spit of the father. But yeah, he's playing the Academy. I like that. I think it's yeah. Probably country by numbers.
It is. He's got tracks called Not Enough Whiskey and Truth in Your Eyes. And his album is called Down in a Hole.
Right. And I bet you that's BJ Cole on pedal steel as well. but yeah, I'd be interested to see him if I got free tickets.
Oh, very interested.
Yeah. I mean, he has been doing this for a while. And wasn't he managing a band as well? And at one point he was outside Whelan's handing out tickets to paper the venue.
That's the ultimate backhanded compliment.
I'd be interested
to see him if I got free tickets.
Well, I wouldn't go and pay to... I mean, if I wanted to see country by numbers, I'd just, you know... I wouldn't pay money to see it, but I'd be interested. I just out of curiosity to see what he's doing. But I like the voice. Is he putting on the old growl, though?
Yeah.
Well, I think he might be a bit.
There's always a little bit of, I suppose, scoffing when an actor decides to sing in a band or play in a band. I mean, we've seen Johnny Depp and quite a few others try their hand at this. Jared Leto, of course, quite famously, has been more involved in music.
Worst bands ever.
30 Seconds to Mars.
30 Seconds to...
All right.
But at the same time, I applaud anyone who gives it a bash, because essentially, if you're an actor, you're doing something creative and it makes sense that you might want to try something out in a parallel industry.
Russell Crowe does it as well, doesn't he?
He does 30 Odd Foot of Grunt, I think is the name of his band.
Lovely.
We got to leave it there. Thank you very much. Nadine O'Regan, a presenter of Songs in the Key of Life here in TFM on a Sunday evening. Who have you got next Sunday?
Andy from Erasure is picking the tunes.
Andy Bell, okay. And John Cadell from RockYouLike.com. Thank you as well for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.